Hey leaders, before we get into this episode, I wanted to tell you about a free event that I'm hosting, your Personal Leadership Audit Live Workshop. I've put the workshop together because if you want to stand out as an exceptional leader, you have to know yourself, inside and out. Understanding your strengths and weaknesses is critical, and for that, you need a high degree of self-awareness and a commitment to self-reflection. Now, if you're committed to unlocking your leadership potential, then working through a self-assessment like this is going to help you to quickly identify a path to higher impact. I'll be leading you through a deep dive into the 7 imperatives of my No Bullshit Leadership Framework, so that by the end of the session, you'll know exactly what areas you need to develop if you really want to stand out from the crowd. We're only opening up 150 spots, so register now at yourceomentor.com/workshop. That's yourceomentor.com/workshop. Are you selling a little or a lot? Either way, Shopify helps you do your thing. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. It helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. In fact, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And now you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Most of the business owners who listen to No Bullshit Leadership want to go large. What's so cool about Shopify is that no matter how big you want to grow, it gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/leadership, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/leadership now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/leadership.
Hey leaders, Em here. We're finalizing Marty's 2024 speaking calendar and he still has a few opportunities available. Now you've experienced the impact that Marty has on the podcast, but that's only a tiny fraction of the impact that he has when he delivers an in-person keynote presentation. If you'd like to book Marty to speak at your organization's event, go to martingmore.com or send us an email at hello@martingmore.com and we can chat about how to tailor his powerful message to your leaders to achieve real results. All right, now back to the episode.
Welcome to the No Bullshit Leadership Podcast. In a world where knowledge has become a commodity, this podcast is designed to give you something more. Access to the experience of a successful CEO who has already walked the path. So join your host, Martin Moore, who will unlock and bring to life your own leadership experiences and accelerate your journey to leadership excellence.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 289 of the No Bullshit Leadership Podcast. This week's episode, improving your promotion prospects, getting to the next level. If you're listening to this podcast, I know a few things about you that are probably true. You have a thirst for self-improvement. You're ambitious. You're prepared to work hard towards worthwhile goals, and you're not waiting for someone else to make it happen for you. I was fortunate to have an incredibly fulfilling executive career. After arguably starting a little bit behind the eight ball, I eventually became the chief executive of a multi-billion dollar industrial business. To do that, I had to win quite a few promotions in several different companies. Although every episode of No Bullshit Leadership is peppered with practical leadership tools and strategies, I've never given you the specific recipe for improving your promotion prospects. Until now. In this episode, I lay out a holistic inventory of the things that are going to contribute to your promotability. As you listen, you can make a mental note of the areas where you think you have a pretty good handle on things, and the areas where you may still be a little weak or need to focus more attention. If you really want to get serious about improving your promotion prospects, you can also download our free PDF companion resource, which will enable you to evaluate your strengths and weaknesses through the lens of what your organization values the most. Oh, and by the way, if you're a business owner, don't just skip over this one, whatever you do. It's an essential checklist of the precise capabilities, attitudes, and behaviors that you're looking for in the people you're hiring and think of promoting through your business. Today's episode's pretty simple. I've condensed my thinking into the 10 key areas that affect your promotability. I go into each one in turn, in just enough detail to describe clearly what that area is, and wherever possible, I provide you with links to the podcast episodes in our back catalogue that are going to give you a more in-depth treatment of that particular area. From there, you can decide what you need to do to improve your promotion prospects. So, let's get into it. Just before we get into the 10 ingredients of my promotability mix, a word of caution. If we pay too much attention to the saturation coverage in the media since the start of this decade, we could easily convince ourselves that everyone is seeking balance, purpose, and harmony, above all else. That there's more to life than just work, which of course is true. But don't let this lull you into a false sense of security when you're positioning for your next promotion. While the world embraces the shift from competitiveness to human connection, just remember one thing. Career progression is a contact sport. Make no mistake. If you convince yourself that seeking balance and paying less attention to your career won't hurt your promotion prospects, you'd be mistaken. There are still loads of ambitious, hardworking leaders out there who are tenaciously focused on getting to the next level. They're the ones who get the promotions more often than not. So there's no point in bullshitting ourselves about that. That being said, have you ever been passed over for promotion, believing you've done everything right, and think, what the? How on earth did that happen? Well, you wouldn't be the first. That happened to me a bunch of times before I decided to deconstruct what these people were doing to win the promotion. It wasn't just politics, but it wasn't just performance either. To think about it more clearly, I had to let go of one limiting belief, which was holding me back, but it was seductively easy to hang on to. That belief was that the person who decided whom to promote was either an idiot or somehow was fooled by an ambitious but unworthy candidate. Now, to an extent, that may even be true, but it's not particularly helpful. And it's not until I chose to let go of that assumption that I began to analyze these situations in a more useful fashion. Virtually everyone who makes a promotion decision does so based on their own worldview. They look through the lens of the things that they value the most. Let's face it, we all tend to hire and promote in our own image. For example, it's no surprise that a highly technical, task-focused leader will see and value those same attributes in the people whom they're considering for promotion. They're likely to overlook issues like ineffective leadership, lack of team capability or performance, poor communication skills, a lack of commercial acumen when they're deciding who they're going to promote. If they value technical excellence above results, they can often make decisions that are questionable, to say the least. But even in the absence of performance, they wouldn't necessarily think that they'd made a poor decision. All this to say, of course, that every situation is indeed different, and that's even if we only factor in the variable of who the decision maker is. But the extent to which each of these 10 factors is relevant depends upon the culture of the organisation and the standards that it chooses to uphold, as well as the individual values of the decision maker. The only way to work this out is by observing these things in your day-to-day environment over a period of time. That may provide some clues as to why you're not being earmarked for the promotions you think you deserve. Now, to make this whole thing easier for you, we've put together a free PDF resource that you can download at yourceomentor.com/episode289. This is a great resource to help you keep track of the areas where you may wish to focus your attention in the future. It's an absolute cracker because it doesn't just give you the opportunity for self-reflection. What it does is that it also enables you to map your perceptions of how much value the organization, and your current boss of course, places on each of these characteristics. We've set it up so that you can use it like a basic SWOT analysis. Which areas am I weak in, but the organization considers to be important? And which areas am I strong in that the organization doesn't particularly value? For many of you, I expect that some of these insights are going to hit you like a pie in the face. They certainly did for me when I first discovered it. All right, let's get to the 10 ingredients of promotability. The first is competence. Although there's a wide-ranging perception that incompetent people are often promoted, that's not generally my experience. The more common scenario is that people who are extremely competent at their current level just don't have the skills, the temperament, or the capability to perform at the next level up. In that previous example where the brilliant technical person who's undoubtedly competent in their current role is promoted, they may not be able to perform in a leadership role. They may just lack the fundamental ability and emotional intelligence to harness their team's talent. This is virtually a cliche in the world of talent management. Credibility is critical for strong leadership. It underpins trust, and it begins with competence. It doesn't matter whether you work for a listed company, a not-for-profit organization, or an NGO. Achieving profitable growth, meeting your customers' needs, and delivering value for all your stakeholders should be common themes. And the complementary skill set that you must have in order to convey your competence is high-order communication skills. Your ability to communicate effectively will either massively add to or massively detract from people's perceptions of how competent you are. The episode that I think's most useful here in our back catalogue is episode 243, Credibility, the Hallmark of Great Leaders. And of course, we'll leave links to all of these episodes in the show notes. The second promotability factor is performance, pure and simple. I cannot tell you the number of leaders over the years who've told me that they, quote, build high-performing teams. Now, mostly it's just talk, and many leaders, if you press them, can't even clearly articulate what a high-performing team looks like. I used to push these leaders mercilessly in interviews to see if they had any idea of what performance is and how to lead a team to superior performance. But these days, you know, I'm trying to be a better person, and I've come to realize that many people simply use different criteria to assess what high performance is. Many would consider a team where everyone gets on, collaborates, and reaches consensus easily is a high-performing team. No, that team, by definition, is likely to be really mediocre if you look through one important lens. High-performing teams have to achieve measurably better results. Not compared to the team sitting in the cubicle farm next to them, but compared to other teams and companies in the same industry against which they're competing. Performance is about results and outcomes. If you perform well and deliver superior outcomes, it's going to be noticed. And that tends to nullify a lot of the speculation and chatter. It may also attract vicious politics from those who aren't performing, but that's a different matter. To improve your promotion prospects, focus on leading your team to superior performance. So I speak about performance a lot, but there's a great episode that I think is going to be really useful to you. It's the second episode ever released. Episode 2, Building a High-Performing Team. The third ingredient is resilience. I think that one of the most common traits of people who get promoted is their resilience. They learn to withstand the challenges, setbacks, disappointments, and obstacles that they face in their daily work. They're not flaky, and they can absorb pressure from above. And this includes the concept of work ethic as well. Now, I'm not suggesting you become a workaholic, but your work ethic is a critical companion to your performance. Working to the clock is a rookie error if you want to be promoted. You've got to work to the outcomes. Now, of course, not every leader who appears to be resilient is actually that resilient. Often there's a massive disparity between what someone displays on the outside and what's going on for them on the inside. Having complete congruence, being calm and rational in the most difficult, high-stakes situations, is what I call grace under pressure. And not many leaders have it. One thing I will say is that in the absence of the ability to handle pressure at your current level, your boss is going to think twice about promoting you. And in my view, the most damaging behavior comes from what I call the catatonic leaders. These are the leaders who freeze, go into hiding, and can't make decisions in the heat of battle. During my corporate executive career, I found that I had to free up quite a few of these leaders so that they could be successful in another organisation. Now, of course, there are any number of No Bullshit Leadership episodes that explore resilience, but the one I think that's most useful from a promotion perspective is episode 228, Resilience Myths. Ingredient number 4, capability building and talent development. This is a key determinant of your promotability. Great leaders focus tirelessly on extracting maximum performance from every individual in their team. There's a complex cocktail of leadership competencies involved here, and I'll get to one or two of them shortly, but this is all about leverage. How do you make the most of what you've got? The first principle is that you have to be prepared to do the hard yards to build the right team. This is something that many leaders simply aren't prepared to do. Yet they wonder why promotions elude them. Then, you have to get your head around the fact that instead of increasing your own effort and performance by, say, 10%, the real gold is in being able to get 10% more from everyone in your team. The performance multiple is staggering if you can manage to build your capability and develop your talent. For this promotability ingredient, have a listen to episode 24, Building Organizational Capability. The next two ingredients are broadly about the level you operate at. So number 5, working at your level. This is a critical skill that leaders need to master, and the mantra, don't dip down, should always be in the back of your mind. You will constantly have to make choices about how involved you become in the work of your people. And look, there's always a balance to strike. You've got to know how to support and coach your people while still holding them to account for doing the jobs that they're being paid to do. And it takes some trial and error. Every individual's different. But every minute you spend doing the job for one of your people is a minute you're not doing your own job. And as you overfunction for your people, who are either incapable or unwilling to deliver the results to the appropriate standard, you become a workhorse. You have no time to focus on the leadership disciplines that make a difference to team performance. You're overworked, and eventually you're going to burn out. To dive deeper into working at the right level, have a listen to episode 7, Working at the Right Level. Our sixth ingredient is thinking and communicating at the level above. To be considered promotable, particularly as you get beyond that early frontline leader role, most organisations like to see some capacity for strategic thinking. And we know this can mean a lot of different things, right? But the easiest way to describe it is that you have to show that you understand the issues that exercise your boss's mind. In the previous ingredient, I spoke about the fact that if you dip down, you run the risk of being typecast as a workhorse. And whereas many organisations absolutely love workhorses, they often don't get promoted. Why is that? Because every single day, they reinforce the fact that the level they are at is exactly where they should be. That's where they're comfortable, and that's where they provide the most value. Instead of looking in and down, you need to learn how to look up and out. Your ability to see beyond the narrow confines of your existing role and to demonstrate your ability to think more holistically is a key factor in your promotability. Instead of being a workhorse, your goal should be to become a trusted advisor to your boss. For this promotability ingredient, have a listen to episode 134, Being More Strategic. Number 7 is influencing skills. As you move into higher roles, you need to be able to get results through influence rather than simply controlling the resources you're given. In today's complex organization structures, very few things happen in a single isolated team. Your ability to work with others to achieve outcomes is a critical factor in your promotability. This is where many leadership competencies and behaviors combine. The ability to handle conflict comfortably, your negotiating capability, sophisticated communication skills, strategic thinking, a deep understanding of value creation, and the ability to work for the greater good rather than just for your own narrow self-interest. To dive deeper into what it takes to build great influencing skills, have a listen to episode 39, Getting Results When You Don't Have Control. Closely related to your influencing skill is number 8, stakeholder management. This includes your external stakeholders, customers, regulators, shareholders, suppliers, It includes your internal stakeholders, other leaders, risk and audit, finance, legal, shared services. It includes your network of supporters and mentors, the people who are going to guide you, not just in your career path, but also in the things that you need to do to become better. And most importantly, it includes your patron. Now, your patron is the person who's going to fight for you to be retained, promoted, and paid within your current organization. And we should all have one. Now, to my complete amazement, I've never recorded an episode specifically on the topic of stakeholder management. Although I have produced quite a bit of content on this for our mastermind groups, and of course, a lot of my one-on-one mentoring is focused specifically in this critical performance area. What I've decided to do is to shuffle the podcast deck to slot this episode in next week. So you'll just have to come back then. Almost there. Number 9, your personal demeanor. The way you conduct yourself and position yourself personally is a crucial determinant of your promotability. Let's face it, no one likes to promote someone that they don't enjoy working with. Doesn't matter how good you are. So you have to at least make sure you pass the no dickheads test. To be a bit more specific, I just want to give you a few comparators to let you know what I'm talking about. Your objective should be to build your brand as a strong, empathetic leader who is decisive and performance-oriented. You'll ideally be thoughtful and level, not impulsive and volatile. You'll be strong, not weak. You'll be able to do difficult things. You'll be decisive and confident rather than hesitant and fearful. You'll be empathetic, but not sympathetic. That's bad for everyone. You'll be action-oriented, not just someone who talks a good game. And you'll have a posture of continuous learning and self-development, not just someone who relies on your existing skills and knowledge to make you indispensable. To dive deeper into what it takes to build this type of leadership brand, have a listen to episode 182, What is Strong Leadership? Finally, the 10th ingredient. As much as I hate to say it, a big factor can be politics. And the extent to which this matters depends a lot on your boss. If you kiss the right ass, it can take you a long way. Now, the view I formed after years of corporate politics was that I should always be aware of the politics, but never actually play the politics. I was convinced that a performance focus would eventually win out. But I got to say, I was blindsided a few times with political attacks that I didn't see coming. And on the odd occasion, it actually cost me dearly. But for me, it was always more important to be able to look myself square in the mirror every morning and know deep down that I was doing things the right way, that I was leading with courage and integrity. Like I said, this does really depend on your boss. If your boss is insecure and he wants to surround himself with yes people, then politics is much more likely to be a factor in promotions. If your boss is more secure and isn't threatened by the quest for high performance, politics is going to play less of a part in whether or not you're going to get that big promotion. To dive deeper into corporate politics, have a listen to episode 168, Political Sabotage at Work. Okay, don't forget to go and get our free downloadable. I personally think this is one of the most valuable freebies we've ever produced for this podcast. Go to yourceomentor.com/episode289. As I said at the start, career advancement is a contact sport. Knowing the rules and formulating a personal success strategy for improving your promotion prospects could just make the difference between stagnating in your current role or jumping on the fast track to career success. All right, so that brings us to the end of episode 289. Thanks so much for joining us, and remember, at Your CEO Mentor, our purpose is to improve the quality of leaders globally. So please share this episode far and wide. Maybe just don't share it with the people that you're competing against for your next promotion. I look forward to next week's episode, Managing Your Stakeholders. Until then, I know you'll take every opportunity you can to be a no-bullshit leader.